Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hi, welcome to the Nerd Off, another spinoff podcast on the Blackout Tips Premium content section. Today, I have a bunch of guests that you guys should be familiar with. I have Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres. What up, dog?
Snitches get stitches.
Mm-hmm. I also have Kev, H2O Kev from the Insanity Check podcast.
I was really expecting you to call this the Malcolm Xbox podcast. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah, I almost did.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to name it.
Well, I have several different names, but Malcolm Xbox is if I was just going to talk about games, but I said, no.
Okay,
let's
gotcha.
Let's go ahead and branch out and call it the Nerd Off because I want to talk about more than games with my homies. Speaking of homies, I also got Chris from the Insanity Check podcast in here.
You're about to review some Jungle Titties, yo. I'm down.
And, of course, Karen, you guys heard her voice earlier. She's here, and she's just hanging out. I don't know.
Why. Yeah, I am.
I don't know what made her decide to hop on, but you know how it is. Guys can't
word podcast.
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing else to do.
That's right.
So we got a bunch of shit I want to talk about real quick. First things first. Now, we already did our spoiler review for Iron Man 3. You guys did your regular review for Iron Man 3, but now we're all in the same room. And I feel like I can bring this up with the homies, which is if you didn't like The Dark Knight Rises, you don't get to like Iron Man 3.
I agree.
Like, because all the holes and problems that you had with the plot for Iron Man 3, for Dark Knight Rises are in Iron Man 3, except it's like 20 minutes shorter. So I don't want to hear people that said, well, Bane wasn't a real villain when the Mandarin really was not a real villain, or Catwoman really saved the day when Pepper Potts really saved the day.
Forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
dog, you know, I never even made that correlation.
Yeah.
Made that correlation now.
I don't want to hear about the logistics of getting out of the prison and back to Gotham, mm-hmm. where Robert Downey Jr. had half of his suit go from Georgia to Miami in about five seconds.
Tennessee to Miami.
Well, let's not forget that he actually drove in a car from Tennessee to Miami, like, in, like, 2 seconds. You know, he just drove. Like, mind you, this after falling out of the sky, fighting some extremist soldiers without his suit, and not having any fucking sleep, he basically drove from Tennessee to Miami like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, how come he can walk in bars and nobody recognizes him?
Yes.
People like, when he walked up in that bar, I was like, well, that keeping his identity a secret shit just went out the window and nobody knew who the fuck he was.
He was.
I'm confident like a lot of popular people could go into bars and like those middle America places like Tennessee, Kentucky and shit, and they wouldn't get recognized.
No. If a billion, if a trillion dollar Iron Man suit wearing white dude walked up in a fucking bar in the country. Like, he literally is.
If he was wearing the Iron Man suit, he probably would.
He is the white American superhero, Kev. He cannot just walk up in rural white American bars and not be recognized as the savior of white people.
Yeah, well,
I'll put money on that.
Well, here's the thing, though, Kev. These are the same people that said, how can Bruce Wayne fake his own death?
Right.
And when it comes to flamboyant billionaires, Tony Stark far outweighs Bruce Wayne
right.
as far as public image.
Bruce was sitting in that restaurant in wherever the fuck he was, like just chilling with no disguise on, no nothing, with Selena chilling at the restaurant. Like, yo, what makes you think Bruce Wayne ain't never been here before, yo?
Yeah.
And because he in France and they don't speak English. Right. They don't know he's Bruce fucking Wayne. Because they don't know what's going on in America. They have no idea what a Batman is.
And the last thing is, if you don't get the bitch about Batman getting over a knee injury with the Derrick Rose knee brace, if you can get over PTSD because a little kid said you should pick up a hammer.
Well, hold on. I don't understand why they didn't even do the PTSD shit. But I don't understand why this mechanical knee brace that he used after 8 years of being out of commission could not be a reasonable thing to help him get back in the fighting. I don't understand why. Like, clearly he's
like a younger man.
He had, like, it's not like he just put it on and it worked. He actually went to see a doctor first. who was like, yeah, it's pretty much fucking shattered. You have no stability. Okay, let me put this mechanism on my leg that gives me nothing but stability, and I can kick holes through walls with it on. I'm basically Bionic Batman now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's just the consistency, and then this is my biggest problem when reviewing these kind of movies.
Consistency in the nerddom.
Consistency in the nerddom, and then it's also consistency in the regular just critics. It's like, you criticize The Dark Knight Rises for the same things you praise in Iron Man 3 or vice versa, and I'm like, I don't understand how that works. To me, if I don't like it in either one, then I don't like it in either one. And even then, if I don't like something, it doesn't mean that, let's say you didn't like Bane as a villain, and you didn't like what they did with the Mandarin. To me, even if you didn't like what they did with the Mandarin, it doesn't take away from the movie. And it still made it a good movie.
Right. People gotta stop crying about everything being right. So close to like, comics and shit. Cause like, I mean, I used to be that kind of person too, but now I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. You know, entertain me. Shit. I don't need to be just like the comic just to be entertained. Like, that spin on the Mandarin, it's incredible.
I got to thank Rod for this. Rod is the one that made me convince me to, and we'll go back and watch the cartoon. So go back and read the comics. And I realized that, oh, this shit is fucked up. So, nah. I give a lot of things passes now. Like, the next thing that's going to be complaining about, they're going to be, the S.H.I.E.L.D. show for Marvel is going to be coming on soon. Mm-hmm. And, Agent Coulson is back. And nerds are already complaining. It was like, but he died in Avengers. And I'm like, but they die in the comics every fucking day. It's right. Like, you know, characters die all the fucking time. They come back. Right.
Comic books are really well written and action packed soap operas. Yeah. I don't know why people don't understand that. Like, and it's a good thing because even if your favorite superhero dies, he might not be dead. Like, yeah. If you love him enough, see, love brings back your favorite superhero. If enough people love, it's like fairies. If enough people believe in fairies, Tinkerbell will live. But
if your name is Jean Grey. Yeah.
Right. Right. And all this shit is shit that you can't do and shouldn't be able to survive, or else why would I watch it?
I love that too. It's like, well, I can't believe that Batman could survive that back injury in only 5 months. It's like, well, let's be real. In real life, Batman would be dead by now.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me on Twitter that Tony Stark overcoming PTSD was kind of similar to like him, because he's an actual veteran of war. And after getting therapy and years of counseling, part of what helped him get over PTSD is, you know, his creativity and ability to like have hobbies and stuff. And I said, that's cool. But this was in a 5 minute conversation with a little kid. Mm-hmm. This had to happen because it's a movie and we have to move on. We can't do PTSD all day.
If it wasn't a kid, the kid was a little bit older. I guess he was like supposed to be like what, 9 or 10.
Yeah,
the kid was a little bit older. He basically would have told Tony, "Stop being a bitch."
Right.
Yeah, that's
what the conversation was, and Tony was like, "Okay, you're right. I'm gonna stop being."
Yeah, the kid basically was like, "But you're Iron Man." He's like, "Oh shit, you're right. My bad, dude."
Or maybe it could be that Tony Stark is just so fucking cocky that he beat PSD. I mean, Jack Bauer beat a lot of things in 8 seasons. And niggas still want him to come back and beat. They want him to beat canceled shows. Like, that's what they want at this point.
Yes, they do.
I don't understand. Like, if you really, like, okay, I'm not going to say that I like the way they just got rid of the PTSD. I actually thought they were going to build something around it where he would have to do something crazy to overcome it.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. And I was like, this is a Marvel film. Why did I think this was going to be deep?
Well, for the record, I want people to know, I have no problem with the movie. Mm-hmm. I think if you had a problem with Dark Knight, you need to have some problems with this movie. That's what I'm saying. You don't get to enjoy this. Fuck you. You have to be mad about this like you were mad about Dark Knight. And I don't want to see people slipping.
It just kills me the way that people are overcritical of films. And then you're like, so what films do you like? Oh, well, man, I love the Star Wars film. Stop.
Right? What are we even talking about?
It's like, when's the last time you watched those?
I can't even really say which Star Wars film. So, I mean, they'll probably still say the wrong answer with that.
I'm a big fan of Phantom Menace. It's the one of the best films. Speaking of Star Wars and star films, Star Trek comes out next week. And
yes.
I just got to say, man, I'm going to see this opening day.
I am entering into the darkness.
I actually bought the Blu-ray last week.
That was one of the best looking Blu-rays I've owned.
Yes, it's beautiful. I forgot how short the movie was, and I appreciate
that. Not that long at all.
Yeah, it's like you go through this thrill ride, and they kind of, J.J. Abrams really is really good at hitting on all the tropes that fans of the old Star Trek series like are used to. And I know I grew up on Star Trek. I wasn't a Trekkie, but I watched most of the episodes.
I was a Trekkie.
Yeah, and he kind of felt like he was able to hit that stuff without being too corny, which I thought would be hard to do.
And that's the thing that I've seen a lot of people complain, like the hardcore Trekkies complain about this bullshit. Like, well, you know, they made it more of an action film. Well, yes, motherfuckers, because that's what most of us wanted to fucking
do. Nobody got 25 seasons to watch it develop, dog.
We could actually get a Star Trek action damn near anything back in the day just because of the way technology was with that TV show. Right. I mean, they had to sit up here and move around on the stage just to make it seem like, yo, they're being fired at or some shit.
We saw
like,
some of those Shatner fight
battles, scenes. The space battles they had on like the old Next Generation episodes, dog, those are the slowest, just like look back. I was looking at an episode earlier, man. It does not look that much
like
fun.
I want these motherfuckers to realize that nobody wants to hear a bunch of actors on screen making up a bunch of stuff that doesn't really exist and talking about, well, my quantum theorem, and nobody gives a shit about that. We want to see things blown up in space, and it's awesome.
As a TV show, it was more of a character-driven thing. I mean, you had those different characters. You got seasons to get to know them, and everyone, I think for the most people who watch Star Trek, they had someone they were always invested in. Like, with the movies, you gotta give a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. And that's what Abrams did, man.
Yeah, and like 60% of Star Trek, for those who watched it, is really intense diplomatic relations between other species. Nobody wants to see that.
Only time they really did a badass action scene was like one of the last seasons of Deep Space Nine. Like, they just went all out, had, like, all the Federation ships, all the Jem'Hadar, Cardassian ships just going at it. And I'm like, you know, you can tell they actually blew their wad on this budget for this, because they really wanted to be able to give the Star Trek fans something they have never really seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's why,
to me, my favorite Star Treks are Deep Space Nine and Voyager, because they were more action-oriented, and they were more story-based versus the Generation was just,
what's going to happen today?
Yeah.
Like, there's a parody account where they just make up random episodes of The Next Generation, and I'm like, you know what? None of these really sound that far-fetched, because that's how Next Generation was. You never really knew what you're going to get. There'd
also
be, like, four different things going on.
Also, I'm glad that J.J., this, like, watching this original Star Trek movie and then getting excited about the next one, I'm really glad that J.J. Abrams got the Star Wars thing, because I feel like he's going to go through, action it up, cut down on some of the politics and shit, hit the tropes and the cliches from the movies that we like, and it's going to, I'm going to leave there feeling like a kid again, like I did after Star Trek, and that's all I really want.
Me and Phenom got the screening for it on Wednesday, so I mean, we'll definitely like let you know what we think when we get out of that joint.
Yeah,
so.
The one thing I liked about the last Star Wars Episode 3 was this, the epicness of some of the action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh, listen, J.J. Abrams doing a Star Wars space battle.
It's gonna be there, dude.
Wait to see how. I can't wait to see how he uses the Force, because
yes.
Like, the shit that I've always loved about the Star Wars franchise is actually like Clone Wars, how they use the Force, video games, how they use the Force. Like, it's always way more creative than what was what actually happened in the original trilogy. So, I can't wait to see how they use it.
It was more reactionary in the old ass shows. I think that's in the old ass movies. That's why I'm not a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
It never seemed to me like the only person that had confidence in using it was either Sith or Vader. Mm-hmm. Everybody, it always seemed like the Jedi, they literally only use it as a defense mechanism.
But that was actually part of the storyline with the new trilogy, where they were even talking about it at one point, like, well, there's a Sith out there. We can't let it be known that we can't command the Force like we used to. And that's one of the reasons why I was hoping he would go further back into the past of the Star Wars universe when he's doing a movie. Because, I mean, that's where all the stuff from the video games are, most of the novels. And it's the Sith Jedi War in that time period was just seems just like completely like the whole Old Republic type style type of.
Like I've always said, the best people to do, this is why I'm excited about Star Wars Episode 7, because George Lucas had nothing to do with it. And anything George Lucas really has anything to do with sucks.
Yeah.
In comparison to everything else. So, yeah, bring on J.J. Abrams. I'm down.
Speaking of changing things, the Xbox revealed their new name for their new console, the Xbox Infinity, and I just gotta say, man, I don't really care what the fuck you call it. That's,
like, how I feel too.
I saw a lot of blogs getting very excited. It's just a name.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not even like, to buy the next generation systems when they come out. I mean, I did that with the 360, and I went through five 360s. I only paid for two of them, though.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Nope. I'm buying it until.
The only reason I bought a second one because I wanted the updated one with the HDMI port. Like my original one broke down like three times. I'll give Microsoft credit. Every time I sent it to them, they replaced that shit.
Yeah.
But the only reason I bought another one because I wanted the black joint with the bigger hard drive and the HDMI. So.
And that's why I'm waiting until probably end of 2014, maybe beginning of 2015.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like middle around next year, around this time when it'll be my birthday. System might have dropped in price. So. Probably get it then.
Yeah, I'm different from me. I just have not played. I still got games to finish.
Right.
PS3 and 360. I still got BioShock series to play. I still got Assassin's Creed series to finish. Mm-hmm. Arkham Asylum Origins is coming out September. Like, y'all, people are worried about these new systems. I'm worried about this new Batman game coming out. I could get
Grand Theft Auto 5.
What's up?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yep.
Yeah, like that's two games that will hold me over until March.
That's the thing is that I'll keep stressing about the new consoles is I'm not like I have about a year at least after the first after the new consoles are released to catch up. Like I'm not even it's not even about like oh I want to be on the cutting edge of new shit. Like nah, I just actually have a lot of AAA titles that I never got to play that I really was excited about. And, I can use the break. So
I gotta play Mass Effect 3, dog.
Mass
Effect 3.
I
saw you going through Darksiders 2 the other day, Rod, and like, I'm pretty sure you probably played the first one. I was like, yo, I gotta talk to him when he's finished playing this game, cause I thought it was pretty dope too.
Yeah.
Like, and I played it, like, I think maybe 6-7 months after it came out when it dropped in price. Like, that's the way to go. And then next year, when everyone out clamoring for all these new systems, I mean, you're gonna have a lot of cheap, quality AAA titles out there that still need to be touched.
That are going
to
be on all the systems too. Like I'm not buying the system or game that I can get on the 360. Graphics can't get but so much better. I'm sorry,
they that's truly true.
And you know, it's about the gameplay.
Yeah,
like, everything looks good on the 360 or PS3. I mean,
or different.
You're going to give me a few more. I guess cell shadings here or there, whatever. I don't know all the terms, but you know what? I'm happy with what I see.
Yeah. I don't have the television that makes my 360 look top par yet.
You poor soul.
I'm really not even worried about that. Like, and then you get like different renditions of how games look. Like, look at the Walking Dead game. That had nothing to do with it being graphically beautiful. It had to do with the way it was drawn and that being a different type of appeal that we don't get to see a lot from popular games.
Yep.
So there's always a way that you can spin it. That's why I kind of feel like this new generation shit is rushed anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like they just threw it in our faces, but somebody was telling me, oh, well, they can't plan to go completely into the next generation from another generation. I said, that's complete bullshit. They're just trying to get as much money as possible. They want you to buy the game on your 360 and on your Xbox Infinity when you get your Xbox Infinity, because that's what this shit is about. And I'm not falling for that shit. Plus, I'm broke.
Well, also, I still feel like the next evolution of consoles, if you really want me to get it day one, it has to have some type of fleshlight apparatus in the console. because if it's not sucking my dick, I'm not buying this shit the day it comes out. That's a ridiculous, like, that's a level of income, and time that I don't have. Like, I actually value my time and don't want to be the guinea pig for the first wave of games.
Yes.
Yeah, one thing that always gets me when people do this with not just the video game consoles, but Like anything, like with the iPhone. iPhone 5 comes out. Oh, I gotta get that shit. They wait outside, and then all of a sudden, oh well, yeah, the battery doesn't really charge.
Right.
So you morons are beta testers for these phones and for these
free beta testers, dog. Free beta testers.
You could have just waited.
Shit, you paid to be a beta tester.
They paid a beta test. Like that is disgusting. They pay with their time. They pay with their money.
And then they
pay with their soul because they're so fucking hurt that shit breaks.
They can't admit it. So you sitting there with this Xbox Infinity that don't work, right? Mad as fuck, but still going, no, man, this is the greatest shit ever.
Right.
Yeah, so we playing games tonight? Oh, well, nah, we'll see. I gotta let my Xbox Infinity cool off.
I'll tell you right now, that was the saddest moment. Those times when my 360 broke and I had to ship it back to Microsoft, all my buddies playing like the Modern Warfare demo and shit, and I'm like, I can't play nothing right now. That's some sad feeling shit.
Well, the saddest thing is when you go into the forums and you see the different things people were doing to try to save their Xbox when it first came out, people are like, well, no, so what you do is you get a kind of a damp towel and you wrap your neck.
That shit is disgusting.
No, I forgot all about that shit.
You pay $600 to fix your own shit. No. Nope.
Wow. I like
$600 to wrap that shit in a damn
I waited 2 years to get my Xbox, got it, got the Elite, and it was the same price the motherfuckers paid for the 60 gig Xbox before.
Mm-hmm.
Got a game with it too, and I was good.
But yeah.
I waited
it out, and my first Xbox lasted me 5 years. Cause mm-hmm. I just waited till all the fucked up ones were gone. And I was like, all right, now I'll take one. So, I can't wait. Now, speaking of new consoles, this is another reason I say I can wait. Sony is saying that it won't take a big hit from the PS4 launch, unlike the PlayStation 3. Now, for those that, you know, remember, the big reason that the PlayStation 3 cost a lot was because it had the Blu-ray in it.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of that stuff, like the cost for those parts, have gone down. And I would say that even people that do own a PS4 would probably say there's not a huge difference between the fact that it has a Blu-ray player and an Xbox does it. Like, it's not like, well, these games are... you can just look at them and see it's Blu-ray, you know, like, and
I love that. People are like, well, no,
that is, in some instances, some games do look better on
PS3. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say it's because of the Blu-ray. I don't know why. Just like some games on the Xbox 360 look better than they do on the PS3.
Yeah, that's actually
about a storage that they can put on the Blu-rays. If they're able to put like more data for like character designs and everything else, that I mean on the actual physical Blu-ray disc, I mean, that's why you get those games that do look better. But for the most part, I mean, they just can't fit.
Well, that's what I was going to say about the whole idea is in our minds, when the consoles first came out, if I told you, well, this one got Blu-ray and it's going to play off Blu-ray disc and the other one doesn't, in my mind, the other one should never look better. Like, like you just sold me like $500 more of look better. So, that's why I was saying it's not like a huge big difference. So, apparently this time, they're saying they did not like, they're spending it like we won't lose money. So that's good. And I'm looking at it kind of like, well, that means there's not a huge technological difference between this one and what you currently have out. It's just about time for a new system because every console launch until now, every manufacturer has taken a huge hit. It's just part of releasing a console is you make it up in games by releasing consoles that are like the cutting edge technology at the time, cost a lot of money, people buy them, but it still doesn't cost as much as it should.
You're developing a case surrounded by what I would like to call some hypothetical bullshit because you know they're going to take a hit. There's no way they're not going to take a hit, even if they claim they won't take a hit. And the only reason that PS is even saying that is because, man, PS took a hit for that PS3 this generation. They better not let that happen again. Like, that's the only reason they're even saying that. That shouldn't even be a topic of conversation when we're talking about a new generation system. Is that what the shit look like? I don't care if y'all taking a hit, but you still gonna charge me $300-$400 for the bitch.
Right.
It ain't like I'm getting a discount on this shit.
Think about how the fact that they're trying to undercut the whole used game sales. There and a lot of talk's been talking about games being specifically set for one system, the always online and everything else. I mean,
they're trying to cut out that whole market too, and that's probably another reason why they're jumping so fast on this next generation.
A quote from the Sony CEO, he says, "One thing I can say for the new platform, PS4, how it is different from past platforms is that the amount of investment that goes into the basic architecture components for the hardware device is much lighter than the past platform. To be a little more specific, when we launched the PS3, initially we had a negative margin on each unit that we sold that was quite big. It did come down over time as we reduced the cost of the console. However, the initial investment was quite big due to the fact that we had to design the cell chipset from scratch, which cost a lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. In addition, we had to invest money developing the silicon conductor fabrication technology, as well as the capital expenditures for producing the chipset. All of these amounted to billions of dollars in investment for the platform, which had to be recouped as we sold software and hardware compared to the business model PS4 utilizes a core chipset. Yes, we have designed it with our own technology, but the core of the CPU is something that's available already, so we're not designing the chipset from the ground up."
So basically what he's saying is faster unit, more memory, but it's basically the same PS3 in a bit different chassis.
Right.
Fuck you.
And the thing is, like Brandon said, man, it's funny because they're releasing this to let us know, like, we're going to be okay. But, yeah, at the end of the day, are you still going to charge me the same shit that you...
Yes, they are.
...would? So what does it fucking matter? Like, you just...
charge you the same price.
What you just did was give me a reason to wait a year to buy your console. Like, right.
Because you're going to charge $800. You're going to charge me $800 at the gate, but it costs you less to make. Nigga, fuck you.
Hello? I mean, and I understand why it costs less to make. This generation of consoles went a really long time. Like, this is a long period, and like I said, I still think it could have ran until probably 2018. It was a long period of time. Shit, and technology.
When did it come out?
It started in 2004 is when we first 2004 2003 for the Xbox, right? And in 2005 or 2006 for the PS3. So we're 2013 now. Technology has still not been perfected in the amount of time with video games. We still have issues. We could have at least went to 2018. And they're dropping these new systems. By the way, look at 2004 compared to 2013 and look at the advancement in technology. Mm-hmm. It's insane. It's ridiculous how far we've advanced in technology in the last 10 years. So I understand why parts and stuff cost less. Hell, I remember when laptops used to be $3,200 if you had a fucking Pentium 4 processor in it. And now you can get a fucking quad core for nothing.
I will say this though. The reason that they used to tell us shit cost more though was because it was a huge leap forward. And it was typically something I didn't have access to in the last console. Right now, he's just like, we basically made it faster and more capacity.
But you're getting the same
thing. And it's like, but it's the same chipset we used earlier. It's the same core development we used earlier.
Same paint job. Yeah. Same color of the car.
So it's like, you know, okay, I feel you. The guts of it are faster and sleeker, but it's not like you're giving me a Porsche. You're still giving me my Honda Civic, but it's
And that's why I was saying about it. It's like, at least with the Xbox, I mean, even with the Xbox, remember that the HD hard, HD DVD that was supposed to come out? Like, you're fucked, but.
You know someone who owns that.
They at least try to put out new standards and new technology with that. Maybe that's going to happen with the PS4 and the Xbox Infinity or whatnot, but it doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any new technology, really.
Yeah.
A new standard.
Like, I'm at least going to wait and see.
Right. Yeah.
EA announced that it is no longer gonna have any licensing ties to real life gun manufacturers, even though they're still gonna use brand name guns on the screen. The reason that this is kind of important is because they had all these licensing deals or like the NRA and shit, where it's like, we use the AR-14 from this manufacturer and stuff like that. They said they weren't paying to use them, but it was good free advertising or whatever. But the NRA came out and said video games cause people to kill motherfuckers in schools. And EA decided, maybe we shouldn't have this partnership. That's anymore. Right.
That's actually awesome of them.
Because mm-hmm. y'all cutting into our profits.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, at first I was going to say, fuck EA, but then I remember what the NRA did, and I was like, okay, no, that's good. That's good policy.
I don't understand why they just didn't name, take real guns in real life and then give them weird fucking names.
Yeah.
and just keep all the profit, period, or not even associate with themselves. With the NRA, and the NRA is dumb as fuck for shooting themselves in the foot, because if anything, they would have jumped behind us and been like, look at video games. They have our guns in them, and people don't kill people over video games. People kill people over mental health. Look at your doctors. They could have did anything like that, but instead they go, nope, video games showing your kids the guns that we use in real life is causing your kids to go out and shoot people, and not actually us using those guns in real life is causing kids to go out and shoot people.
Yeah.
Because we make sense.
Part of the issue with this also was they're getting sued by Macmillan and Magpul for the Medal of Honor Warfighter campaign because they use a helicopter in the game, and they were saying that it's not covered by the free licensing acts or whatever the fuck, so they're like, you gotta pay us. So that also could have something to do with it too. It's like, this is actually a headache to have this in writing. Let's just do like every other video game maker and put the AR-14 in there and be like, come get us if you got a fucking problem. Let's go ahead and talk about some video game I got one quick movie review and one thing. Arkham Origins screenshots got released. All I gotta say is I was gonna get it no matter what, so
we were trying to talk about nigga,
right? Like, I saw that, I was like, okay, cool. Next. Iron Man Technivore is a cartoon movie from Marvel, one of the animated movies, which always stay three steps behind the DC animated movies, in my opinion. And this is another skippable one. It's not good, y'all. Basically,
I saw you tweeting it earlier, and I was like, is this on Netflix? Should I try to watch it too? And I was like, yeah, you know what? He's not liking this. Never mind.
Yeah, it was not good, man. It's soulless. It's basically like they hired an anime studio to do an Iron Man cartoon, but the Japanese just do not get what's cool about Iron Man. And they had to take it to the next level, and they do there's a lot of standing still and using big words that I don't know what the fuck. It's like, well, are you using the nanobytes? Because the nanobytes would coagulate with the technovirus, and then the technovore would be free.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've been, Ghost in the Shell had better technology than Iron Man did, so I can understand why they'd be a bit confused. Oh, you Americans, you're so behind, you still use iron.
Yeah. Well, it felt a lot like that.
You've gotten on me for doing Asian voices and shit before, but God, you just took the fucking cake.
Yeah,
he just
killed it.
I'm just saying, it's real. Like, I feel like, oh, you make us draw this, so stupid. We should have nano robots. Make his body, he fights strong.
They also, what really pisses me off is they put the Punisher in there. And the Punisher is actually voiced by the dude from The Walking Dead, Daryl. But he looks like a emo version of the Punisher, like long black hair. He looks like he's like not grizzled at all. He looks like he's about 25.
Punish you in these Levi's.
In the apartment, you know. I mean, these are assholes that canceled.
It's like, can't trust the Japanese.
Yeah, Marvel's the ones. These are assholes, them and Disney, that canceled Earth's Mightiest Heroes. So fuck me. I like Marvel when it comes to the movies, but fuck them when it comes to animated.
It's like terrible. Was it Punisher Shippuden?
Yeah, like, right. Dude, the Punisher, like, the thing that makes the Punisher cool is that he is just a 40-year-old white dude with something on his chest that is fucking crazy. And
I had a 19-year-old goth kid who just...
I want to see Batman and the Punisher just have like a sit-down chat, like in a dive bar somewhere. Yeah.
Dude, the Punisher is... I've been saying, the Punisher is Batman if Batman's family doesn't get killed till he's 30. Like that, like, where he doesn't make that promise at like 8, cause at 8 you make a promise like, I don't want to kill anybody cause guns are bad, but at 30 you're like, you know what, man, fuck these niggas.
I don't want the Punisher and Batman to have one.
Like that though, man.
Like, I just don't want it to end up being a Punisher and Bruce Wayne having a conversation. I want the Punisher to be sitting in a bar
with Batman.
Batman.
Yes.
I want them both, them grizzly Adam sounding motherfuckers to be hey, you want another shot of this? Yeah, another shot of that. Sure, just pass me the round. Hey, where's that waitress at? Yeah, she's in big ass city. Yeah,
I just shot.
Saw me. I would love to take the bat suit off for her.
speaking of shots and rounds, Batman, I just put three in a criminal back in the alley. Kev, you were saying something. I you got cut off a little bit.
I don't even remember. So okay.
All right. Well, but yeah, man, the Punisher's in here, Hawkeye, and the Black Widow in here. They got some coon ass nigga doing a Samuel Jackson impersonation for Nick Fury. And the dude sounds like he's from the South. It doesn't even sound like Nick Fury at all. Like, I wish I had listened to this. I wish I had listened to this with the Japanese audio instead of the American dub. Like, I really needed to just
been better.
American subtitles, Japanese audio is the way to listen to it. But I'll never watch it again because it fucking sucked. A couple quick video game reviews. Ninja Blade. I've been playing that. It's the goddamn craziest fucking game I've ever played in my life. I don't know what's going on or what's happening, but every cutscene is like, literally they just said, let's make a game about a ninja. And that was it. And
it was
it was the right choice. Okay. It's crazy.
What system is it on? Or?
It's on the Xbox 360. It's probably on PlayStation 2, on the PlayStation also, yeah. But
Roger had this cutscene where he got thrown in the air. Next thing you know, he grabs a motorcycle, goes down like the side of
a bus.
Jump off the bus. The air now. This is all in the air.
Jump off the bus, kick the motorcycle into a gasoline hauling truck, 18-wheeler, and then throw a flaming shuriken into it, explode and kill the bad guy. Like, it, and all this happens about 300 feet in the air. It doesn't make fucking sense.
Nope.
And every time you kill something, something bigger and more fucked up just shows up and you gotta go through all that shit again. But I got it for like $15 at Best Buy. So if people are listening, I would say try this game out. It's not the best gameplay, but it's definitely worth the $15. And the main issue and the reason you know this game is crazy is it's straight up like the 80s. There's not even a button on your controller that lets you target an enemy. You just gotta run around and do ninja shit to like
the original button matching. That's what I'm talking
about. It's some button matching like Streets of Rage shit where you like ninja towards the left. Now I'm a ninja to the right.
Punches at people face in Streets of Rage. Sometimes you just do not hit them.
That one level up and shit that you can't hit or some shit.
Yes. It's a lot like that, except 3D. And while it would be frustrating, it should be frustrating, it's not, man. It just reminds me of how I grew up playing games and it's not penalizing you too much for dying. So it's, you know, I don't get pissed and you rarely die anyway. I played Darksiders 2. Great gameplay, great fighting mechanics, love the puzzles. I don't know what the fuck happened. I beat the game.
I figured you was probably going to say that too.
Yeah.
And that game is confusing as hell.
It
especially
is.
Especially because the first one's narrative was so easy to follow.
Yes.
This one, like, you go somewhere and then, like, it just takes you on a whole nother tangent. I'm like, all right, so why the fuck am I doing this? I'm trying to help, like, war. Like, what the fuck you guys got me doing here?
That was the thing is it gives you so many little tasks to do. I literally forgot I was supposed to be saving my brother. Like, you would meet somebody that's like, first, you must restore the Nephilim to the Earth realm, and then humanity will be brought back, and you will not be forsaken anymore. Go and meet the King of the Dead. And you go meet the King of the Dead, and he's like, before I tell you what to do next, you need to talk to my three subjects.
Everyone
they are my court.
Somewhere else, and I'm like, you know what? I forgot my original task here.
Right. It's meet the three men at the court of the dead, and then they will judge each eternal soul. And after they are arraigned, only then will I be able to make them suffer, and I will tell you the way to the Nephilim region. I'm like, what happened?
I think I was playing that game like right before I left for Europe. And when I came back from Europe and I was trying to figure out where I left off at, man, fuck that shit.
What game is this? Game of Thrones?
Darksiders.
Yeah, dude. That shit is like narrative wise, it is one of the worst games I've ever played in my life. But gameplay wise, I actually had a pretty good time. Like,
yeah, it's a fun game to play through, and yeah. Like, I was having fun, like, collecting all the loot, the spells and the abilities death gets. I mean, it's like, if you play through the first one, you'll definitely like the second.
Yeah. All right. Now let's talk about what we really came here for. I got these fellas here because they
I played Shattered Dimensions. I got one joint left.
Oh yeah. What do you think about Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, man?
When I first started playing it, like, the swing mechanics and the fighting mechanics, I see what they tried. They tried to kind of do, Arkham Asylum, but not as crisp and mm-hmm. not as deadlocked. Mm-hmm. So it's still button mashing, but there's technique to the comboing and the grappling and throwing people around and shit. That game took me the longest to figure out how to play as Spider-Man.
Yes.
Like, you run around and you think, oh, I'll just swing, drop in and fight motherfuckers. No, because Spider-Man is not that goddamn strong. You can swing it. You can do a whole bunch of acrobatic movement and you got a bunch of fighting styles. But if you get overpowered, you'll start to get fucked up and from every direction. So that became kind of realistic. I had to actually beat all the bosses mm-hmm. before I became like a pristine player at this shit. So I actually.
And there's a lot like
of replay value, dog. Like, yes. Once you get all the great moves and the combos and stuff, and you figure out how to swing, and you figure out how to do the, like, the zipping with the webbing from point to point, and you can use all that to your advantage. Like, I would take an hour and 10 minutes for each boss. I literally just beat Hammerhead three times in 40 minutes mm-hmm. because I knew how to run through the stage and find all the shit.
And there's
it's just a fun game, dog.
Like, and there's there's four different versions of Spider-Man in Shattered Dimensions.
With multiple costumes for each Spider-Man.
And it makes it fun because instead of just like, this is a stealth level, it's like, no, now you're playing as this version of Spider-Man. This level is more like, swinging and it being in space. Like, okay, well now you're playing the future version of Spider-Man. That was cool. The other thing I really enjoy, they captured what the villains in Spider-Man are about better than any other Spider-Man game I've ever played. My favorite level is still the Deadpool level.
Deadpool's level is goddamn it ridiculous because Deadpool is a jerk. He's a pompous fucking jerk.
And he loves being
in front of the camera, yo. Like, he just shows up, wiggles his gun around. It's like, hey, what you doing now? We're on television. Let's go ahead and do this. Get this knocked out of the way for our audience members. Yeah. Oh, Peter Parker's feeling kind of weak today. It's like, you want to fight? You want to fight me? Okay, we're going to have to catch me. Ha ha. And he swings off.
Yes.
And you're like, what?
And he has, like when you get to Deadpool's level, it's really a reality TV show.
And it's awesome.
Yes. And he just keeps fucking with you. And he doesn't get mad until you start breaking his cameras.
Yeah, you start fucking him up, yo. Or like, but then he's like, uh-oh, tidal wave of boat coming. Let's see if you can escape this, Spider-Man. Don't want to die on television. It's like, what?
So good, man. So I suggest everybody check that shit out, man.
If you're a Spider-Man fan, yo, like, and you've been religiously playing Spider-Man games, you've already played this. If you're looking for a Spider-Man game because you haven't played one in a while and you just want to feel like Spider-Man, yo, play this shit. The commentary is dope.
Yes.
Like, Spider-Man is such an asshole, but even when he's getting fucked up, he is still talking shit to people.
Yes.
It's just an enjoyable game. And people complained about, like, when you grapple and you have to kind of do the free punching.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was dope. I actually enjoy that shit, man.
Yeah. Like, I looked forward to, I was like, oh, here he come. Come on, please grab me.
Personal, nigga. I get to fuck you up in the face now. I love that shit.
Yes.
Dog.
I was using my analog sticks to punch the shit out of villains.
It felt like Fight Night, man. Like, it did. It felt like Fight Night with Spider-Man. And I was like, this is dope.
I'd be like, duck. Now, three to the face, nigga. All right, so we don't have much time now, but I'll just go ahead. Far Cry 3, man, let's talk about it real quick. First of all, I didn't know that there was a lot of controversy for this game.
There was?
Yeah, apparently everybody thinks this game is racist. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong.
Excuse me?
But everybody thinks that the impossible white man-ness of this game is racist because it's a white dude going to an island full of brown people and becoming a savior. And, the creator of the game, the guy who wrote it, he actually has been doing interviews telling people, like, it's not racist. It's actually a satire of the impossible white man genre.
Isn't the lead villain a white dude?
Yeah, it is. Hoyt. Yeah, Hoyt is white.
Yeah.
He's a fucking white dude. Like, the villain is a white dude, and the main character is a white dude. What? And he's not a hero. Mm-hmm. He's an anti-hero.
I think the main issue it seems that people took with this is that, the white dude saving the, Rihanna looking chick.
His white friends?
And,
I'm so glad you brought that up. She is so Rihanna, yo.
Yeah, she's Rihanna.
When I woke up and he was filling her titties, I was like, this bitch is Rihanna.
Right. That was actually that was the second I realized it too, man. It was right when she took her shirt off. I was like, oh, okay.
I saw
right.
Jungle titties and I was like, this bitch is Rihanna. This bitch thinks she's Rihanna.
Now, honestly, man, cause Aaron Rand Freeman pointed this out to me. He feels like he hasn't played the game, but he's like, you know, people are saying it's racist. So that's one of the reasons he hasn't gotten it yet, but he's planning on playing it at some point. And I gotta say, man, I actually enjoyed the story more after reading these articles with the writer talking about it. Cause I see what he's saying and I agree.
Absolutely.
He had a lot of quotes. There's a lot of quotes strewn throughout the game of Alice in Wonderland and a lot of hints towards like perception versus reality. There's a lot of
pointed that out to me when I first started playing it. Like I didn't even like I read them, but I didn't equate them to what mission I was doing or the mission I had just finished.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a lot of stuff about drug use and a lot of stuff about symbolism. And I feel like it might not have been as neatly done as it could have been, but the writer actually said the reason his name is Jehalem, the reason that he didn't make it like really just point out like, listen, you think it's one thing, but this is what's really going on, is because he didn't want to talk down to gamers. And
like they're stupid.
As always, that's not what you want to do. Most people are stupid, especially gamers. And it's not, you know, it's not your fault, dude. I'm glad you high-minded and everything, and maybe it's just not the time for this shit, but you really have to talk down to gamers. Look at Mass Effect 3. Look, like, you can't leave shit to interpretation.
You just can't leave it open-ended because then they're going to find the asshole end of whatever issue they have. They're just going to put their own shit into the game. So whatever agenda they have that month in life, your game is going to be reflective of that if you don't break shit down to just simple. Well,
can I
simple
just say, I'm tired of us calling, well, and I say us as just people.
Not us, nigga, but us as in them. Not us as in us.
Tired of people calling games racist just because there's a white guy as a hero, you're playing as a white guy, and there happen to be brown people that are the quote-unquote villains. Because they did the same shit with Resident Evil 5. It's like it was set in fucking Africa.
Yeah.
Like, what are they supposed to do? Have the Africans be white so that you wouldn't be offended? Like, this game is set on a tropical island somewhere, like, in the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Of course there are gonna be fucking brown people there. If they made them white, you'd be fucking pissed. And it makes sense. I mean, the whole idea was that these white kids were out here chilling on this island, having a good old time for their vacation, and they get caught by fucking, you know, these terrorists / pirates.
Yeah, Vice.
That shit happens all the fucking time.
Shit got real. Now here's the thing I will say though.
By the way, Voss is a dude that I would love to party with because he looks like he knows how to throw a hell of a. He is the Gatsby of that island. I would love to hang out with that dude.
First of all, here's the thing about Voss that was dope. Vaz had bars and jokes.
Yes, he did.
And that's really all you need to do to get me on your side. Cause as soon as he started trolling them white people, I was like, yeah, dog, you cool with me. So, but you know, we gotta wrap it up. So let me just say this. I enjoyed the game. I thought the story was cool. And I actually did think the story was deeper than just the narrative of a white man saving the brown people and shit.
I
will say it worked for me. I didn't realize how much it worked for me because I felt a sense of disappointment at the end of the game because I was like, that wasn't an impossible white man story after all, because he goes back to, if you go back to save the brown people, you die. Like, you get stabbed in the chest. So I'm like, this is not really impossible white man, because impossible white man.
Did you check both endings, Rod?
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. I picked the impossible white man ending.
Right.
That's the impossible white man thing to do is to stay on the island as their savior.
And see, yeah, I didn't do that.
Now, what was the other ending, Kev?
The other end is like, he just kind of like, just comes to his sense. He's like, yo, man, what the fuck am I doing? And then the nigga.
Rihanna dies.
Well, she does die. The black dude who's been helping you out too. He comes out of nowhere. He's like,
hating ass Mos Def.
And he tries to, hating ass Mos Def. He tries to kill Jake, and Citra saves
Jake. But actually, that technically is still an impossible white man ending. Mm-hmm. Because the black chick dies to save the white dude. So he is.
And he leaves the island with his friends, but he's just like, you know what?
Oh, wait, you're right. Monster. You know what? You're right. I did pick that. You're right. That's the one I picked. My bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're right. You die. You don't die. She dies. But if you pick the impossible white man ending, you die. Cause she puts a knife in your chest and she's like, I don't need no fucking savior, nigga. You stupid ass white boy. You so naive. And it's like, you know what, man? I felt a little hurt cause I was like, I wanted my impossible white man.
That's kind of contradictory. It's like in one ending, you save her. You save the white folk. And she sacrifices herself for you, and in the other ending, you save her, and she goes, man, fuck you, I ain't need your help, nigga.
Yeah.
That is you know what, that is racist, because a black woman in the hood would do that to her nigga in a heartbeat. Don't shoot my man, nigga, I know you ain't cheating out here in the streets, I will stab you.
Yeah.
Like that shit, yep, that's kind of racist.
So, maybe it was right.
The thing about this game, outside of even the story is, even let's say you didn't like the story.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much other shit to do in this game. The open-endedness of this first-person shooter with the hunting, the side missions, like getting all the garrisons, all the other shit.
Fucking mountains just to jump off with a wingsuit.
Right. Nigga, that shit is so fun, son.
Did you guys ever feel safe?
No.
Me neither. And I feel like, now here's the thing, though. I feel like it's because I'm black. Cause I kept having panic attacks in the woods and shit. Like, what the fuck was that?
Them bears and tigers. Yeah. Oh my!
Many times I'm like scoping out the garrisons, and next thing I'm hearing a growl, and I'm like, the fuck is that? And I look behind me, there's just a tiger just sitting there staring at my ass.
Yes.
Before I could shoot him, he's already on me.
Yes, dude. Like I had too many. Like there's so many times in this game where it's like, oh yeah, the quickest way would probably be just swim across that. Oh wait a minute. That's probably
this is the first time I ever used a pair of turtle beaches with the stereo in your left ear and stereo in your right ear.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you have a bad heart,
don't do it.
Use turtle beaches with Far Cry because you will be so focused on what weapon you about to use to take over this camp that you will hear a bear growl next to you and know that you're going to die.
Yes.
Probably from having a panic attack before you actually get attacked.
Dude, I have turtle beaches too. I'll be like, looking at some shit in my sniper rifle like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna take him out first. Then I'm gonna take dude out on the tower. And now his patrol takes him. His patrol, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Like, that's how the game gets you.
The whole game for me was like, how do people live in the jungle and sleep? Cause at any moment you could wake up with a tiger on your head. Like, what's good, my nigga? I'm feasting.
You know what's fucking me up? The snakes. I be trying to climb up one of the tower. I'm just glad the snakes couldn't really kill you.
Nigga, I'd be getting bit all up in the jungle if it had to do with snakes and them goddamn Komodo dragons.
Did y'all ever have... First of all, Komodo dragons run in pairs? Fuck y'all, nigga. Yeah. Number two, man, how come... like, did y'all ever try to do a stealth, like, approach to, like, a base or something? And an animal comes up, and you just lose your cool and shoot
it just
that shit.
Fucks everything up, and they call for like, reinforcements.
Yeah, like I would shoot that shit with a shotgun, the loudest gun I got, and then next thing you know, it's like, woo!
See, you did it wrong, right? If I was trying to be stealth, and a tiger or something ran up on me, I would shoot the tiger to piss it off, and then I would run through the base in front of everybody, and just make sure that I got to a point. Where, like, cause if I run into base, the tiger is not gonna stay focused on me.
Right.
And they all gonna be like, tiger! And they're gonna start shooting him, and he's gonna turn all his attention
smart.
On them.
You smart.
And their guns aren't as strong as my gun.
That's why you always gotta carry a silence weapon.
You guys have mentioned that.
I do carry him.
Crazy bird that comes after you sometimes. That long ass ostrich motherfucking looking shit.
Hate that fucking bird.
The shit that stalk you. It's like, you shoot, and then they just start walking towards you and shit.
Yeah, those things are scary. I've never been so scared of a fucking bird before.
They're scary because they approach you like they not gonna fuck you up. They approach you like they curious,
like
and they just want to get to know you. Like they look at you like, oh shit, you a human? What you doing here?
Well, you
and
think
they walk up on
and
you,
and you also start thinking that it can't hurt you that much,
and it starts fucking you.
Yeah,
up.
Your health bar be like, I'm out, nigga.
I know you gotta wrap this up, Rob, but I just gotta say, my favorite mission, like the missions to me are the fun.
I mean,
the missions are fun too. The individual missions. My favorite mission still is the one where you had to burn the weed fields, yo.
Oh, you get high?
I love that.
And they're playing that music.
Music to the fucking flamethrower, dog. I was partying, yo.
Me too.
I was lighting shit on fire, yo.
Yes.
It was awesome, man. I fucking love that mission. I actually got to the end. I was almost done with that. I was like, fuck it. Restart mission. I restart mission. I was having too much fucking fun. I would find different ways of light. Because I would sneak up on it, right? And I would like start the fire in a corner. And I would have them just sit there, and the guards wouldn't see it until, and then all of a sudden they would start freaking out, like, fire, fire! And I would just be like, yeah, burn, motherfucker.
Chris got some power maniac in him. Well, alright, man. Yeah. I gotta wrap it up, but, this has been, the Nerd Off, podcast, which is a spinoff of the Blackout Tips, in the premium section. Thanks for everybody that pays to listen to this kind of shit. It's what keeps everything going. We'll be back, next week and probably hopefully talking Star Trek and, whatever other nerd shit happened throughout the week. This is, Rod signing off for Chris and Kev from the Insanity Check podcast. Make sure you check them out. And of course, Brandon from Words by 40 Acres and sitting in the back, not saying anything, Karen, from Blackout Tips. So, till next time, peace out.